I've been tasked to speak on looking forward to what God will do. Do you have a PowerPoint ready for me back there? Good. Okay. Imagine with me the perfect Thanksgiving. The perfect Thanksgiving. Outside, the air is crisp. The sun is shining. Inside the middle-class suburban house, all the family is sitting around the table. The turkey and the rest of the dishes are steaming. Everyone is smiling. Everyone is thankful for all the blessings. Let's come back to reality. It's raining and cold outside. Normally someone is missing. Maybe grandpa or grandma has passed away. Dad has a cold. One of the children is throwing a tantrum. Mom is exhausted after spending 6 hours in the kitchen. The turkey is overdone and the side dishes are cold. You are tired because you traveled 8 hours to get home and then slept on a hard mattress in the basement. You may imagine the perfect Thanksgiving, but in reality, you have never experienced the perfect Thanksgiving. I've had some good ones. We've all probably had some good Thanksgivings, but that perfect Thanksgiving where everything is perfect, probably never experienced it. C.S. Lewis, great author, writes about these memories and what they point to. He says, "These things, the beauty, the memory of our own past, are good images of what we really desire. But if they are mistaken for the thing itself, they turn into dumb idols, breaking the hearts of their worshippers. For they are not the thing itself. They are only the scent of a flower we have not found, the echo of a tune we have not heard, news from a country we have never yet visited." When we long for the perfect Thanksgiving or a perfect experience in this world, what we are really seeking is only found in heaven with our Savior. In this sermon, I would like to focus on being thankful for what God will do for His children, especially as we think about eternity. So, we have this idea that we long for something that's beyond this world, that's only found beyond this world in heaven, in eternity, with our Savior. Let's turn together to Romans chapter 8, and we will catch a glimpse of what God has in store for us. Romans chapter 8, page 800 in the Blue Bibles. And I'll read for you verse starting at verse 18. If you don't have a Bible, it's going to be found on the screen here for you. Romans chapter 8, starting at verse 18. Paul writes this, "I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subject to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God." We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In this passage, we find two things that are redeemed or rescued, if you would like to use that word, rescued or redeemed. God's children and God's creation are both redeemed or rescued. Both creation and God's children are groaning, waiting for the day when they will be rescued from sin and decay. Just as we wait for our adoption as sons and daughters to be completed, so creation waits the day when God will make all things new. We wait for this to take place, and that's called hope. If you want to put this in Thanksgiving terms, being thankful for what God will do in the future is called hope, because we know He's going to do it, so we can be thankful for it. It's hard to be thankful for something that's not going to happen. We're not sure it's going to happen, but we're sure that God will redeem us and redeem creation, so we can be thankful for it, and I like to call that hope. So, what will happen in the future that we can be thankful for from this passage and other places in the scriptures? Number one, no more suffering. No more suffering. We are all getting older. Unless Christ returns, we will all die. We will probably experience more suffering and perhaps the death of loved ones. Happy Thanksgiving and Merry Christmas to you. It's the reality of our world. All this suffering should point us to a time when there will be no more suffering and pain and tears. We'll be perfectly with our Father in heaven. Number two, no more sin. We all struggle with sin. We all fight against it if we're believers. If we're believers, we have the power to fight against sin. Children of God, we as the children of God have been rescued from the penalty and the power of sin, but not the presence of sin. So we look forward to that day when we will be rescued from the influence of sin in our lives and in the world. So take hope, be thankful. There will be a day when we can worship God and enjoy fellowship with Him without sin getting in the way. Number three, no more natural disasters. No more natural disasters. We also can be thankful for a time when we can live on a perfect earth, an earth that has been recreated by God for us to enjoy forever. You know, some people make you think that we will dwell with God forever in heaven, you know, sitting on clouds, playing harps, the whole nine yards. No, that is not what's going to happen. If you look at the end of the book of Revelation, God comes down to dwell with His people on earth, perfect earth, forever. No longer will be there earthquakes and hurricanes and tsunamis, but a world that is perfectly made for the children of God to enjoy. Every time we hear of a disaster or go through one ourselves, have hope that this too will have an end. Number four, no more homesickness. No more homesickness. We are God's children, but our adoption is not yet complete. We're not home with our Father yet, so our adoption is not yet complete. We look forward to the time when we can be with our Heavenly Father, when we can truly be home. This is another quote with C.S. Lewis, kind of trying to wrap this thing up here. It says, "If I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world." I thought that was very interesting, insightful. So that homesickness that you might have that can never be satisfied, that longing that you have that can never be satisfied in this world, that longing can only be satisfied in another world, in eternity, with God. We weren't saved to enjoy this earth, but saved for a future time that we can only begin to imagine. This hope of Christians, this hope for the future, is the icing and the cake of the Christian life. We don't live for turkey and stuffing, football and parades, but we live for the day when everything will be made new. We live for the day when our adoption will be complete, when the earth will be perfect, and we can enjoy fellowship with our Father without sin and suffering. So this Thanksgiving, be thankful for all our earthly blessings, for the turkey and stuffing, or whatever your family does. But don't let those blessings take your hope off what God has in store for you in the future. This hope, or this thankfulness in God's promises, is a powerful remedy against discouragement, temptation, and suffering that life brings us. So take hope, be thankful this Thanksgiving. You were made for another world.